Buddy, and we'll be prepared to come in. The children are going to come in first and sit up in the front, and then we're going to read a Christmas story to them. We'll be sitting in front of me, and that'll be done just before the regular gospel time.
Okay. So our entrance hymn
can start
is,
anytime.
Our entrance hymn is number 227, O Come Little Children, number 227. Please rise.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. You are sent to the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. The glory is on page 6. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory, Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father. Amen. Loving God who gladdens us year by year, as we wait in hope for our redemption, grant that just as we joyfully welcome your only begotten Son as our Redeemer, we may also merit to face him confidently when he comes again as our Judge, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Let us listen to the word of God. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, as your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord.
Day after day, tell his glory among the nations, among all peoples, his wondrous deeds. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the sea and what fills it resound. Let the plains be joyful and all that is in them. Then shall all the trees of the forest exult. Today is born our Savior Christ the Lord. They shall exult before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes to rule the earth. He shall rule the world with justice, and the peoples with his constancy. Today is born our Savior, Christ the Lord.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When Paul reached Antioch in Pisidia and entered the synagogue, he stood up, motioned with his hand, and said, "Fellow Israelites, and you others who are God-fearing, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our ancestors and exalted the people during their sojourn in the land of Egypt. With uplifted arm, he led them out of it. Then he removed Saul and raised David up as king. Of him he testified, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will carry out my every wish.' From this man's descendants, God, according to his promise, has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus. John heralded his coming by proclaiming a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was completing his course, he would say, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. Behold, one is coming after me. I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet.' The word of the Lord.
The children may come up now for the Christmas story and put them up kind of around there. Okay. Are you ready for a story? Ready or not, here we go. All right. Long, long ago, on the very first Christmas night, something wonderful happened. A special baby was born. Many, many people have waited a long time for this baby. Tonight in our play, we will celebrate the story of his birth. Here's how the story began. A woman named Mary and her husband Joseph lived in the town of Nazareth, in a place called Galilee. Mary was going to have a baby. She and Joseph knew that this baby would be special. Happily, they made their many plans for the baby's birth. Then news came that changed their plans. Their king wanted to know how many people lived in his kingdom. So he asked all the people to go to their hometowns to be counted. Mary and Joseph had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. The trip was long and hard. It was especially hard for Mary, since it was almost time for her baby to be born. At last, Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem. How crowded it was. Many others had come to be counted too. Mary and Joseph were very tired from their trip, so they looked for a place to rest for the night. But all the rooms of Bethlehem were full. "What do we do now?" they wondered. And Joseph found a small barn. "Mary can rest here," he thought. Joseph swept out the barn and prepared a place for Mary to sleep. Then he put fresh, sweet-smelling straw in the manger for the donkeys and oxen ate. "Let's use this manger for our baby's bed," he suggested to Mary. The barn was quiet and peaceful. All the animals went to sleep. "Thank you, Joseph, for finding this place," said Mary. That night, the baby was born. At first he cried and woke up the animals. But then Mary sang to him and wrapped him in a warm cloth. She laid him on the soft straw in the manger, and the baby went to sleep. God wants to call our baby Jesus, Mary said to Joseph. Mary and Joseph were very happy, for they knew that God sent this child to do wondrous things for people. That same night, some shepherds heard about the special baby. They were taking care of their sheep on the hillside near Bethlehem. Some of them were huddled around the campfire to keep warm. Some were talking. Some were sleeping. Just then an angel appeared to the shepherds. They were so surprised and frightened that they cried out. The sleeping shepherds woke up. "Don't be afraid," said the angel. "I have good news for you, news that will make you very happy. A special baby has been born. He will show you how much God loves you. Go to Bethlehem. You'll find the baby there. He's wrapped in a warm cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, many more angels appeared to the shepherds. "God is wonderful," the angel sang, "and all people will be filled with his peace." Well, the shepherds were so excited, they hardly knew what to say to one another. Should they leave their sheep and go to Bethlehem? Could they find that baby among so many people? "Come," said one of the shepherds, "let's hurry and find the child. He must be very special if angels came to tell us about him." In Bethlehem, the shepherds looked up one street and down the other. At last, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. Jesus was sleeping peacefully on his bed of straw, just as the angels had said. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they were filled with joy. Far away, three wise men were looking for the baby too. They had seen a bright new star in the east. When they saw the star, they knew that someone special had been born. So the wise men left their faraway lands to look for the baby. They traveled day and night. Each night they looked into the sky to see if the star was still there. Some nights they could not see it. Then they asked, "Where can we find the special child who has just been born?" But no one could tell them. Then one night, the star shone, brighter than ever. "Hooray," shouted the wise men. "We must be very near." They followed the star to the place where Mary and Joseph were. As they looked at Jesus, a feeling came over the wise men that made them kneel down before him. Then each wise man offered Jesus a birthday gift, "which you've just done, haven't you?" "That's right. And Jesus loves you very, very much." And the wise men could hardly wait to tell everyone about this special child. This is the end of the story. Now I want to ask you something. Do you think Jesus loves you? Raise your hand. Do you think Jesus and God loves you? I guess we were trained. Okay. Now, I want you to figure out how much God and Jesus love you. Do you think it was this much? More? 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 I can't reach any farther. Well, let's suppose I had a big, long arm, and it went all the way to the moon. That much? Okay, that's pretty big. It's a good thing I don't have to buy clothes. Yeah. That's very good, because Jesus loves you and God loves you. They're kind of very much right together in a way we don't actually totally understand. But remember, you are always loved. You see, God loves us when we're good. God also loves us when we're bad. Maybe that sounds strange, but it really isn't. Because when we're good, God knows we're being happy. And God knows, too, when we do things that are bad, maybe it feels kind of fun at first, but it doesn't really make us happy. And that's why when we've done something bad, God is with us and loves us and helps us to become better, because God wants us always to be good and happy. Remember, God never gets mad, no matter what we do. All God is love. That's all God can do. And you remember that? You are always loved. And so are all these people out there. And so all of the people all over the world. Because God's love is so big that God can love everybody in the whole wide world. Aren't we glad he came to us like a little baby? Yeah, that's good. Because babies are cute, aren't they? I think you're pretty cute, too. All right. Now we have the tough part. See if you can find your parents. You go back and find moms and dads or whoever brought you. The gospel's here. I think the kids are smarter than me. Ready for the gospel now.
Please rise.
Gospel according to Matthew. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. And Eleazar became the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Joseph, Joseph the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ, the Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated now. I wonder if we really appreciate what it means that God came in Jesus like one of us. God is infinite. God can do all things. But God wanted to be sure that we knew how much God loves us. And God decided, apparently this way, to come into our world as a human being, and they would also be God. How this works, God's way beyond me. You see, and Jesus went through all the stuff that we go through. He went through some very good things. He had a lot of people hate him. He suffered much, and he finally was crucified. What's God saying? I feel your pain. And it's easy for us to see that when we see the union of God and humans in Jesus. He was ostracized. He was persecuted. He suffered much. He was finally crucified. And that is to let us know that God knows our pain. God knows our hurts. And God is always there to help us. So that means it's easy for us to see that God is not far off. Not far off. Not at all. Do you know that God is in each one of you and me? You see, it is the infinite love that God is that makes us be. You saw how cute these little kids were? Yeah. Do you know that you and I are just as cute? That's true. But it's sure hard to see. With the kids, it's easy. And why is that? You see, what makes us be, is the infinite love of God that's in us that holds us into existence. If that were drawn, if that loving existence of God were taken away, we wouldn't die. We just wouldn't be. And that's who you and I and everybody across the world is. Do you see why there's no difference because of color, because of race, because we're good looking or not good looking or whatever it is? Underneath it, who we are is the same. That infinite love that God is. Can you imagine what our world would be like if we would look at each other and see the presence of the love that God is? It's hard to believe. Hard to believe. And what I want to do, and I'll try to make this brief, though that's very hard for me, as you people know even better than I do. Okay. What I want us to do is to close our eyes for just a little bit. And let us imagine that God is smiling at us. Now this imagination is imagination, but it's pointing to what is real. Though God hasn't got a body, God's got a face and doesn't smile, it's more than that. This love that God is with us, holding us, delighted to be with us, because we're being open and allowing that love that God is to come in. That's what we call one of the ways of praying. To let that love change us and transform us. That is the meaning of the Our Father. How many times have we said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done? Countless times I have, and I never meant it. What I do is I say, Thy will be done. But I say, God, I'm not quite ready for that yet. You see, there are a few things I want to take off the table before I say, Thy will be done. But I can't stand that. And God says, okay, just do it a little bit. A little bit. So gradually we can do it a little bit. Then we can say, by the grace of God, Thy will be done. And then you see, God is in charge, not us. And God knows a whole lot more than we do. And God doesn't choose anything for us that's going to be harmful and make us worse. We could just, maybe every day, even for a minute or two, be quiet. Allow that love to sit with us, to be with us, wanting to be with us more than we want to be with God. And as that happens, inside we begin to change. And God is doing the changing. God is changing us more and more into being more loving, more peaceful, more helpful to each other. Slow, easy, not easy, up and down. Please remember this. We are loved. You can open your eyes now. And I would encourage you, take a couple of minutes every day. It can change our lives. We will start to see things we never saw before. And there are many things in Scripture, what the hell is harming? Oh, there is a bit of the devil in me, I guess. But after all, if there's not a bit of the devil in you, if you're too proper, it's really hard to love. You can't be proper in love. Okay. I think God's laughing too. Got you again, John, didn't I? Huh? But anyway, just think about that. Just a few minutes. We see things the Scriptures say, what does that mean? And then as God comes, and we're gradually getting light. That's why we call God light. You can't see God, but light doesn't, you don't see light either. But light lets us see each other. And so when there's light, we see things we didn't before. And God is light. And that is why we start to see things in a way we never did before. We say, oh, that's what that means. I thought it was stupid. Oh, that means I'm loved. Wow. God bless you. I love you. I want you to love me too. But one thing, don't love me because I'm a priest. That can be the worst thing you can do. I want you to love me because I'm people. It's people who bear the image and likeness of God. It is people who have within them the infinite loving presence that God is. It's so much more important to be people than be a priest. Think of that. Think of that. You're beautiful. God is beautiful. As I tell the people at St. Stan's a lot of times, once we begin to realize that God is beautiful, I can quit preaching. And we'll get out of here in 30 minutes. We don't have to preach beauty. It's just there. God is beautiful. Infinite love. Please stand now, we'll say the Apostles' Creed.